A video version of this podcast is available at aboundingjoy.com and also on our YouTube pages. The following recording is an excerpt from a longer Bible study over Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. The entire Bible study can be found at aboundingjoy.com.
In verses 6 through 11, we're given wisdom about the value of hard, disciplined work. Verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. So God's saying, listen, people, you can learn something by observing one of the many little amazing creatures I've made. Now, I want us to pause here for just a little while and think about this for a few minutes. God, as you know, has created a mind-boggling array, an enormous variety of living creatures. It's incredible. And I'm convinced that God did this for several reasons. I think he's got many reasons for his creation. One, I think, was simply so that he himself could delight in his creation. I think God takes great pleasure in the things he's made. He observes them fulfilling the purposes that he created them to fulfill. They're bringing glory to him by doing what they were intended to do. And I think God takes pleasure in that. I think he also created them and us in such a way so that they would bring delight to us as well. I mean, it's delightful to just watch and observe God's creation, these animals and creatures. He's also made them in such a way that the closer we examine them, the more awestruck we are by his engineering and creative genius, his love, his artistry, his power, and the things that he's made. I pointed that out a few weeks ago about how we see the incredible hand of the Creator in what he's made in the heavens and on the earth. But there's another reason he created them. He created them to teach us things. He wants us to learn things from his creation. I could be wrong, but I bet most of you here have been brought to tears on many occasions by the unconditional love and loyalty and trust illustrated by dogs to people. Maybe you've experienced the boundless enthusiasm that our dogs show for us when we've been away and we come back into their presence and they're so excited. I think God's telling us through these little guys, hey, pay attention to what's happening here. He's telling his people, you can learn something about the kind of devotion and love and loyalty and trust and enthusiasm that God wants us to have for him just by watching this little animal he's created. I think we can learn something. We've got a cat at home named Tux. I think I can learn something about the kind of calmness and patience and perseverance God wants me to have by observing Tux. Learn a lot of good stuff. I can learn something about the importance of play and just pure exuberance by watching Tux and Ernie play together. It's pretty cool. If we just pay attention to these little creatures God made, God's teaching us some awesome things about our relationship with him and about a relationship with each other. There's a lot we can learn. He makes this clear in his word. You know, he created sheep, for example. And he makes it very clear in his word that at least one of the reasons he created sheep was to help us realize how desperately we need him as our shepherd to protect us, to provide for us, to lead us, to keep us alive. He compared us to sheep more than once in the Bible. So we could see just a little more clearly how dumb we are and how helpless we are. If we think about what he's saying to us through sheep, if we just think about it a little bit, it can help us deal with our foolish pride with a little more realism. We're dumb and we're helpless and we need him desperately all the time. And then there are wolves. He teaches us things through wolves. Wolves help us realize and understand it. How our enemy, the devil, works. They're stealthy, they're crafty, they're subtle, they're sneaky, they're vicious. They know how to find and devour a sheep that's wandered away all on its own. He's wanting us to learn from that. Jesus uses the birds as an illustration. Remember that? Show us how our Father provides for us. Birds can also teach us something about making a joyful noise to our Creator. Birds and all the animals, birds, but especially birds. I'm thinking right now, they teach us about God's creative genius. It's an amazing, man, these little things that fly around, they're pretty, they sound pretty, they bring us great joy, incredible engineering skill. It's amazing. So God gives us a few hints in His Word about lessons we can learn from animals. And I think at least partly, He's using the illustrations He gives us explicitly in His Word to encourage us to look for and discover other lessons and parts of His creation that He might not even mention in His Word. Let me give you one more. In the far north regions of our earth, up above the Arctic Circle in the very high latitudes, there's a large mammal that God created that we call a muskox. Adult muskoxen weigh between 400 and 900 pounds. They're pretty big. And there's no way an Arctic wolf would bring down one of these huge animals. They have dangerous horns. They have a fierce head-butting tactic that God engineered into them. They also have a vicious kick. So a smart wolf is going to leave an adult muskox alone. But the wolves would love to get their teeth into one of those smaller muskoxen calves. So God has engineered a fascinating defense mechanism into the muskoxen for the protection of their young. If they become aware that a wolf has come sneaking around the herd, you know what they do? It's an amazing thing. They form a circle around the calves. Calves are inside the circle. The adult muskoxen are facing outward, facing the wolf. So they're basically saying to the wolf, before you can get to this calf, you're going to have to get through us. And they're very intimidating. They're adults. They're big. They got the horns. They know how to butt with their heads. They know how to kick. Those calves are safe. There's a lesson for us here. We know there's spiritual predators out there who would dearly love to isolate our kids, devour our kids. And it's no accident that God metaphorically calls these spiritual predators wolves. And it's up to those of us who are stronger in the Lord to do our best to surround our young with prayer and spiritual warfare and godly instructions to fight off these enemies. We can learn a lesson from the muskox. Well, here in our Proverbs passage today, God's given us another one of these little critters. God tells us here that the ants serve as an example for us because of the way they work so hard. So when we're tempted to get lazy, ants rebuke us by their very existence. Not only do they work hard, but they work hard without having to have a supervisor cracking the whip over them. Unfortunately, there are many people who identify as Christians who give in to indolence when they don't have a boss keeping an eye on them. And as we age and retire, we need to be tuned into this. We have to remind ourselves of this verse, because a lot of times when we reach retirement, we don't have a human boss cracking the whip over us anymore. And it's easy to get into the flesh and get lazy when we don't have a job with a human boss. But God still wants us to be hard workers with whatever energy we have left, even without a human supervisor. And when we remind ourselves, hey, I'm doing this for the Lord, I'll be more likely to start the day praying, God, help me to realize I've got work to do today. You've given me assignments today, and I need grace, and I need the fortitude. I need to be a self-starter here. I need to stay at it until I get it done. Help me to realize I'm doing this for you. Learn from the ant. Finally, notice that the ant does the right thing at the right time. Verse 8 says, she prepares her bread in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. The lesson here may be to let God help us set our priorities. Our timing has to be right too, even if we don't have a human boss to tell us. Lord, what do you want me to do? And when do you want me to do it? What do you want me to do right now? What do you want me to do later? Lord, help me to understand the work you want me to get done and the priorities that you have for me for getting them done. What's first? What's next? What do I save till much later, maybe? Let me just share with you while we're talking about ants, some other fascinating things that God's allowed us to learn about these little critters. I've read that some ants can carry things that weigh 50 times as much as they do. When you do the math, it's kind of like a 180-pound man carrying a Ford F-150 in one hand, and at the same time, he's carrying a Dodge Ram in the other. It's crazy. The Asian weaver ant can carry things that weigh 100 times as much as it weighs. That would be like carrying two Ford trucks and two Dodge Rams at the same time. God's made them crazy strong. And by the way, as far as the number of them, you know, because you're probably trying to kill them out of your yard because they're overwhelming us sometimes. Right now, as I speak, there are about 10 quadrillion ants living on Earth. That's about 1 million ants for every human being. Plenty of them. Plenty to watch and learn a lesson from. Here's something else about that I think is fascinating about ants, and it really fits the passage we're reading here. Besides humans, ants are the only known creature that actually farms other creatures. You know, just as human beings farm cows and pigs and sheep and chickens, ants farm too. They farm a little critter named an aphid. Here's why they do it. God made aphids so that when aphids feed on plant sap, the bodies of those little aphids produce a sugar-rich, sticky liquid called honeydew. Ants love it. And ants will do a whole lot to protect those aphids. They'll protect them from natural predators. They'll shelter them in their own nests from heavy rain showers in order to gain a constant supply of honeydew. They love the stuff. So they farm the aphids. So God tells us, hey, consider the ways of this ant.